Let's hear it for Donna one more time. Isn't that awesome? I want to tell you, I commend her so much when we videotaped that. And one of the drawbacks to the video deal is that you got to edit out so much stuff. But, man, she knocked it out of the ballpark. And I'm telling you, what a tremendous setup for what I'm getting ready to preach today about the need to be connected. And you heard in Donna's testimony the dangers of being alone. And you saw the dangers of doing life alone and what that can look like. And then how God can do such a great work and a mighty work when we're in a Christian community together. And I'm so happy for Donna and what God's doing in Donna's life. And Donna's just one person of many people that are in this room that's experiencing life change. Amen. Life Community Church. And as a connecting, caring, changing church, life change is a huge part of this. And what I love about this church is that everyone's welcome. It doesn't matter where you come from, where you've been. We're not here to judge or to throw you out. We're here to say welcome. And we know that God is the one that does the amazing changing work, that it's through His power and His blood. He's the one that changes people. So we just say, come on, we love you, and we know that God can do something with you. Again, let's hear it for Donna. I'm so happy and proud of her. You know, we're in this series, Does Church Matter? And we're going through a little book in our life groups called I'm a Church Member, and it's been really powerful, and I'm so excited about our life groups. We had 61 in life groups last week, and that means we're averaging right around 60. That is up. We used to average about 30. We're up double in life groups. Isn't that awesome? And there's still room for more in all that God is doing. But we're asking this question, does church matter? And what we're seeing is that in the builder generation, 15% of that generation knew the Lord. But in the millennial generation, those born from 1980 to 2000, two-thirds of the builder generation knew the Lord. But in the millennial generation, those born to 1980 to 2000, only 15% know the Lord. 15% of the millennial generation know the Lord. So if you are of that builder generation, you've seen church decline. And if you're growing up, if you're a child of the 80s, then what you're seeing is a lot of your friends don't know the Lord. So a lot of us are asking us this question, does church matter? And when we look at the biblical view of church, that church is not just a country club, it's not something you go get your special ticket and perks and privileges, but when you are connected to Jesus and saved by His blood and by His grace, that He puts you in with a family of believers. And kind of like a hand is a member of the body, now you are a member of God's body called the church because you are part of His family. And what we're discovering is that church really does matter when we understand the biblical precedence for what church is, that we are a community of Christ followers. And it makes all the difference. I want us this morning to look at the book of Ephesians chapter 2. If you have your bulletin, get your sermon notes out of that, if you would, this morning. Follow along with us and you can read along as we read the passages. But Ephesians 2:19 says this. Paul writes this, and this comes from God's infallible and inerrant word of God. It says, so then you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. Now, did you see what Paul said? He said, when you come to know Jesus, you're no longer a stranger. You're no longer alone. You're no longer on the outside. But yet you've been brought to the inside of a great family. And you are called a member of God's family. You are part of a great family. Everybody needs to belong, and everybody needs to be connected. If you're following along in your outline, here's a few things I want you to see. That God is all about relationships. God is all about relationships, and here's why. And Tanner, we're going to go fast, so you get ready, okay? If you study God, relationships are a big deal with God. He is all about relationships because He Himself is Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one, not three gods, but one God, each of them 100% God. That makes sense. Nod your head. No, not really. But He is beyond us and above us, and we trust that that's who He is. When I was in college, I had a professor say, why did God create man? And I thought to myself, well, God created man because he was lonely. And that professor was very quick to correct my bad theology. And he said, God's not lonely. He's got the perfect relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. God didn't create you because he needed you. So here's the next point. He created man to have a relationship with him. A relationship. We were created not because God was lonely, but because God wanted to share his goodness with his creation. He created man. He walked with man. And look what else. Jesus Christ died on the cross so our relationship with God could be restored. We sin against God. We break God's rules, his commands, his laws. We break that. And because of that, there is a division between us and God. And the only way for us to be restored back to God is not through good works. It's not even through church membership. It's not through giving money. It's only through the cross, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's it. Only Jesus is the way of salvation. So we know that Jesus died to restore our relationship. And next I want you to see this. He places us in the church. He places us within the church so we can have relationships with each other. The church is not supposed to be a country club. It's supposed to be the children of God celebrating God together with each other. And it's very, very important. And likewise, we need relationships in the church. We need to have relationships within our church. Now, we often feel like we don't know anybody. And you heard Donna say how scary it was to go to Life Group. I didn't know anybody, but now they're my friends. And what a testimony to Jason and Sherry as that Life Group spoke so much in Donna's life. You don't even know that, do you, until you hear something like that. It speaks to you. And then God uses that. But you know, somebody may say, well, you know, I'm just so nervous about trying to connect with somebody or to meet new people. But you know, there's some really neat stuff when you begin to get to know somebody. When you begin to get to know another person in God's family, some amazing things will happen. A couple of weeks ago in our life group, we were talking about how everybody is somebody in the body. Everybody's got a role, everybody's got a function. And somebody asked this question, and they said, sometimes I just feel like a pinky toenail. That's all I feel like. You know, a pinky toenail. What good is a pinky toenail? And you know, here I am talking about getting to know the church, getting to know each other. And I thought to myself, we should really this morning get to know the pinky toenail, you know? Because when you discover what the pinky toenail is, it's actually pretty amazing. For example, when you get to know the pinky toenail, you'll discover that the pinky toenail is connected to the pinky toe. And the pinky toe is connected, now I'm going to pronounce it wrong, and all of the nurses and those in the medical field get ready to throw stuff at me for my bad pronunciation of medical terms, okay? But it is connected to something called a metatarsal. Now, a metatarsal is almost, if I understand it correctly, it's like the knuckles in your hand, but in your foot. And the five metatarsals that connect to your toes, if I understand correctly from an online Harvard study that I read this week, okay? If I understand this correctly, they serve almost like a tripod when you walk. So, yes, the pinky toe could be severed, but the pinky toe is connected to something that's very important called the metatarsal. And the metatarsal helps you have balance. For example, if you did not have your metatarsals in line, things like running or skipping or jumping would almost be impossible. So we know that the pinky toe is there because it's connected to the metatarsal. So the pinky toe serves as a very critical part of the metatarsal, which keeps your balance. But what about the pinky toenail? Well, I'm so glad you asked. According to Dr. David Leffel, a Yale doctor in a Yale medical review, he says that the toenail itself serves as a protective shield for your toe. Because toes are so important for balance and that sort of thing. The purpose of the toenail, you ready for this, is the first line of defense if something hurts your toes. So, for example, if something comes into your toe, the toenail receives the blunt impact of it to stop your toe from getting hurt and from being infected. Likewise, if there is disease in the body, sometimes the toenails are the very first places that the disease will change the color of it so you can know. Medical people, am I right? Yeah, okay, they don't know either, okay? So we're getting ready to know more about pinky toenails than you ever discovered. So here's what I discovered. The pinky toenail, you ready? Protects the balance of the whole body. Amen. Really? Amen? All right, cool, Jerry. All right, you know? Never did we know that pinky toenails were that exciting. And here's what I'm thinking. Even somebody that feels like they're a pinky toenail in the church, maybe your role is to make sure that you protect the unity and the balance of the five purposes in the church. Now, I never would have known that about a pinky toenail. I just don't Google this all the time, you know? And what I've discovered is that when I got to know the pinky toenail, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And here's what's neat. When you get to know other people in the church and how God has connected them and wired them and done great things in their life, are you ready for this? You will discover that God has put some pretty cool people in here. Pretty amazing people with amazing stories, amazing backgrounds, and amazing things that they've been through, and things that God is doing in their lives. And when you just get to know them, when you reach out across the aisle and you open yourself up and you love them and you know their story and you know how God's using them, man, you find some pretty amazing stuff. Now, what I believe with all my heart is that we need to be a connected church. Part of our mission statement to be a connecting, caring, changing church, that we connect to Christ and we connect to people, then we care for people, and then we change the world through changed lives. So what I'm saying is today, for us to be really in tune with our mission statement, for us to connect people to Christ, you've got to connect with each other. You've got to know who each other are. And as a new church, you know, there's so many new faces, and sometimes relationships are just surface. But God is now calling us to go deeper with each other. Deeper with each other, to get to know somebody. I want to give you three reasons really quick why it's important that you need to connect with other people. Outside of the fact that God is relational, as we've already discovered, the theology behind that God himself is a relational God. Let's look at three reasons why you need to connect with other people in the church. First, I connect to worship with others. I connect to worship with others. I can't tell you how many times that I've heard somebody say, I don't have to go to church to worship God. I can worship God in my bass boat, in my deer stand. I can worship God here or wherever. And my response to that is always this. Well, I hope that you don't worship another God when you are in the bass boat or the deer stand. I hope you don't worship another God when you're walking through Walmart. I get that. That we're to have a continual state of worship no matter where we go. Paul himself would say that you pray without ceasing. And that's not just in church. That's wherever you go. But it's a little bit more than that. If you're really to worship God, that means that you've got to follow His commands and His Word. And if you follow His commands and His Word, you're quickly going to discover that He has a lot to say about this thing called the church. He's got a lot to say about it. The word church itself is the Greek word ekklesia. Do you know what it means? The gathered ones that come together, united together. They come together. So if you're really going to worship God, you just can't ignore the teachings of the scriptures about church. You can't ignore it. It's there. A few things about us worshiping with each other is that we go to church together. The Bible teaches that we're supposed to go to church together. David wrote this in the Psalms 55 verse 14. He says, we used to have close fellowship. We walked with the crowd into the house of God. You know, this morning I sat out there and I saw people coming out of their cars and coming into the church and laughing, and people were over on the side cutting up. People were over here drinking coffee. People were coming across the aisles and shaking hands. There's something special about that. But David said that you had close fellowship when you worship God. You know what's great? When you're worshiping the Lord with a community of believers, you start to like each other. Isn't that a good thing? And you start to celebrate God together. 1 Corinthians 10:17 says this, Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. For all of us share that one bread. Paul would say that when we take communion or the Lord's Supper with the bread and the juice, he says it's the symbolism, one bread broken for all, one cup poured out for all. Like one Jesus died on the cross for all and shed his blood for all. And we gather to take that one loaf and that one cup to remember him. You know, even when we take communion, we're not supposed to do it alone. We're supposed to gather together with our church family because we're one died for all. There's something special about that. And then James tells us this, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. James would say that you need to go to somebody and have them pray with you because when you pray together, God does something great. Jesus would tell us the same thing when two or more agree. There's something powerful about that. And if we just say, well, I don't need church in my life, then you have to throw out a lot of scripture. You've got to throw out a lot of scripture. Because the Bible is teaching us this, that we need relationships. We worship together. We take communion together. We pray together. It's important to be together. God creates it. Two temptations you'll have in regard to this is that one temptation is for you to treat church like a show. You come, you hear the music, you hear the talk, and you leave, just like a movie theater. That's one temptation. The other temptation is just to be solo. I don't need a community at all, but somewhere in between. When we come together to worship together, but we're still connected to each other. Y'all with me this morning? The Bible teaches this, that we need to worship with each other. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you. But I get charged up talking to you guys on Sunday morning. I really do. I love seeing you all. I love seeing how your week was and how you're doing. I love to hear about what God's doing in your life. I like to see you all. I do. I love it. And it touches my heart. And that's one reason why we got to connect with each other, because we are to worship with each other. Second, we connect to sacrifice with others. I connect to sacrifice with others. Look what it says in the book of Acts, chapter 4. For there was not one needy person among them, because all those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. This was then distributed for each person's basic needs. In the New Testament church, they literally took their goods, sold them, pulled together the profits of those goods to help people. It's amazing that they came together as a church, they gave together as a church to help people. One thing that's really neat about connecting with others is that we sacrifice with others. You know, often I hear people say, well, that tithing stuff you talk about, that's an Old Testament concept. And I say, well, all right, if you really want New Testament concept, let's do what the apostles did, sell everything we have and pull it together. Amen? You know? How about tithing? Amen? How about tithing? All right? How about tithing? You know? You really want the New Testament? Let's sell everything we got and pull it together. Okay? That's what they did. That's how they lived. But what we see happening is that they sacrificed together. You know, there's something about when we give together that we can use that together for God's good and God's glory. You know, I'm so excited about how God is using this church because we are doing things. You know, not this week, but next week we're going to begin our youth ministry. We've been meeting as a Bible study, but we're really going to step it up a notch next week. We've outgrown the ministry center. The kids are taking over that. And the teenagers are going to move over to the Logs and Center, and we're going to have, me and Mark was talking about this morning, a full-blown worship service, at least the best that we can do over there for them. And it's going to be pretty neat as we move the teenagers over there. We're trying to use our resources to do things for God at this church. We're trying to have our budget and our finances in a way that's not inward-focused. We're trying to make a difference. And when we all put together and we sacrifice here, God does great things. One thing that's really neat about our church is that we literally give away the money that's given to us. 10% of everything that comes into the offering plate, 10%, 10% of every dollar leaves Life Community to go to mission work. 10% of every dollar leaves this church to go help missionaries. And I say amen to that. And you know what? Our little that we send to missionaries doesn't do a whole lot. But when you compile it with different churches and we cooperate together, God does a great work with that. The church planter we worked with this summer received funding because churches do exactly what we're doing right now. We call it the cooperative program. And we help missionaries that way. Could our church use the 10% that we give away? Yes, we could. But how in the world can we preach tithing and giving and sacrifice to you if our church doesn't model it first? Our church models it. But what I'm saying is this, is that when we sacrifice together, God does great things with that. And we need to connect with each other so we can use our resources to help people. And it's not just time. It's not just talents and treasures. It's everything. It's all of it together, how we help each other. Third, I connect to have others in my life. I connect to have others in my life. Now, I want you to do something real quick. Look at your neighbor. I've not done this in a couple of Sundays, so it's time, right? Look at your neighbor and say this. You can't be solo. Tell them. You can't be solo. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you go down the life of being solo, that you don't need friends, you don't need a Christian community, you're in danger. You can't be alone in this life. God's given us a church family. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But now listen to this, but pity the one. Who falls without another to lift him up. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one person alone keep warm? And if someone overpowers one person, two can resist them. And I love this. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. See, when we come together and we are united together and we're connected and we know each other, you know what happens? God creates a strong church. You know, there are winds out there that just want to blow us over. The wind of heresy, the winds of false gospels, the winds of division, the winds of hardship, just wants to blow us over. But when we're united and connected to one another, the power of the Holy Spirit will protect us from that stuff. But you got to get to know each other. The Bible says this, pity the person that has nobody. Pity them. Somebody said, well, Kenny, you know, I don't have a wife. I'm single. Well, you're missing it. Because this is in the context of a Christian family. Even if you are the only child with both of your parents dead and you're single today with no children, you still have a church family waiting for you. It's there for you. You heard the testimony about how powerful a life group was. And that's what's life groups are so critical, because you get to know each other. This upcoming week, this is all that connection. This week is the connection week. This is the best week to hop in on, okay? Because you know what we're doing this week? All kinds of stuff. My group's going bowling. Amen? Amen. And you may say, well, that doesn't sound too spiritual, Kenny, to go bowling. Well, first, you're a legalist, all right? You're a legalist. But second is this, when you share a meal together as a group, or you do an activity together, I promise you something, you'll talk to each other, and God will move through your conversations. So if you're thinking about, oh, it's just bowling week, I'm going to skip, shame on you. May the Holy Spirit convict you this morning. May He convict you. May He send the conviction upon you. Because you need to connect. And you know what? It's going to be good for some of y'all to have a good time. Amen? It's going to be good for you. It ain't going to hurt you. It ain't going to hurt you. But God can move in those ways. He can move and grow our church through spending time with each other. It's very spiritual. Don't you agree? It's very spiritual. It's spiritual. Every time you go out to eat with another member of this church or you bring somebody with you to church, that is spiritual. It is spiritual. And God does great things because we need other people in our lives. We've got to have other people. We will have hardships and we need somebody to pray for us. We will have questions to problems that we don't know the answer, and we'll need to talk to somebody. We need somebody to help us in this area, or I can help in this area, or I can serve over here. Here's the reality. We need you, and you need us. And most importantly, we all need Jesus in this great big family. See, that's what you can't forget about this whole connection part, is that God is trying to do something through you for a purpose. And when we're connected to each other and then connected to Christ, the Lord moves in a pretty powerful way. All right, Stephen, go stand right there. Come on, go stand right there. All right. Chris, you come stand here. All right. And they're like, what in the world's about to happen? All right. We're going to get Stephen here as close to the cross as we can, okay? So when Jesus, and he doesn't look like Jesus, but he is today, okay? All right? Jesus wants to connect with us. And we know that he does that through the cross, through the burial, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, his shed blood on the cross. So Stephen stands for Jesus. Chris this morning stands for the lost person. Those that don't know Jesus, those that are lost. Who here has been in Chris's shoes? Every single one of us. We are the ones that don't know Christ. And Jesus has died for the whole world. Chris needs Jesus. You need Jesus. So the Lord has done something pretty amazing in our lives. The Lord has given us a great big family network of people. Hold this, Chris. Hold this, Stephen. That are connected to one another. Here, Chris, come on. That connects us to Jesus. Stretch it out. There we go. So what we see happening is when one person comes to know Christ, they connect with somebody else who then connects with somebody else. And you see what happens? And then we all connect, and us as a church reaches somebody that needs Jesus. When we are connected together, all of us connected together, we are able to take Jesus to the world. But when we fail to have connection and unity in our body, and we say, you know what, I'm really a loner. I'm really solo. I don't need the church. I don't need others. Something happens. The connection is broken because we refuse to connect with other people. Big deal. Amen. Give Chris and Stephen a hand, all right? There we go. I'll take that. There we go. By the way, I forgot to get bolt cutters this week, and I texted Stephen at 10 o'clock last night. I said, you got bolt cutters? He said, yeah. I said, bring them. He said, okay. There you go. So you never know. I asked Jason earlier this week. I said, you got bolt cutters? He said, I don't have any. Then he said, what are you going to steal? That's what he asked me, you know? So... But what we see happening is that we really need each other. Amen. We really need each other. Because when we're together, we can help connect the world to Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes today? Maybe today you've never given your heart to Christ. and you're not connected to Jesus. You're a sinner. You need Christ in your life. I want to invite you right now to acknowledge your sin, to admit that you're a sinner, to admit that you've fallen short of God's glory. Do you feel it this morning? Do you feel the absence of God in your life? Do you feel the loneliness of not having Jesus there? That if you were to die today, you don't know if heaven would be home. But you need Christ in your life. It's very simple. Admit to God you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And call upon Him to save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe today you're ready to reach out to Christ. He's done all that it takes to connect you to God through His death, burial, and resurrection. Would you invite Christ in your life right now for this prayer? Just pray it for the first time. Dear God, I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save me. Thank you for new life. Thank you for saving me. I pray in the name of Jesus. With head still bowed and eyes still closed. Maybe today you prayed that for the very first time. And you say, Kenny, I did that today. And I feel like He just came into my life. I'm not perfect, but I'm saved today. I'm forgiven. Because Christ is in my life. He's in me today. Because I just invited Him in. And He just saved me by His grace. Today, if you ask Christ in your life for the very first time, would you raise your hand and say, Kenny, pray for me because I just invited Jesus into my heart. Anybody today? Anybody? For those that are Christians today, hopefully you've seen how important it is that you got to be connected. Maybe that means you need to go to the next 101 class for church membership. Maybe that means you need to be in a life group this week. Maybe it means you just need to invite somebody to go out to eat lunch with you after services. Because we are no longer foreigners. We're no longer strangers. We are citizens with the saints and members of God's household. So, Father, however people need to respond today, I pray, Jesus, that you would help them, Lord, to be connected. Power of connection. So Jesus, just move and speak. We pray in your mighty name. Amen. Won't you stand as we sing this morning as we come today. If you need to pray, come to the altar today to pray. If you'd like for me to pray with you, you come today as we sing.